probably don't get those.
Nope.
Three or four times.
Two or three.
We're inquiring about this accident event from the last 2 years. You weren't involved, but it hasn't been resolved yet.
The public will see it.
We've got attorneys waiting for you to help you.
Oh, gosh.
And there's no, they called me about 3 times today. And I told them, and I've even played the game of getting the attorney and saying, what kind of an idiot are you? They asked one of them, are you attorney? No, I'm just taking information.
I follow you.
That's so weird.
That's all the control. It's a bubble call.
That works.
And so you can't block it.
Right.
And it just. They don't listen to you.
Have you tried screening?
I might have one.
There's a thing you can do through Google where you just press screen. And then it kind of says, it gives them some message, tell us what you're calling about.
Well, that's on my home phone.
Oh, I got it.
This is my cell phone, which should they see it, so there's no way.
Okay.
You can't screen them out. I looked at all those things, but it's just. I wish there's some way that I could pick up somebody and race it back through the right side of the telephone.
Right.
Good. How are you doing?
Thank you.
No, but I just, I mean, because it's not.
Right, well, I just.
That's okay. But I didn't like what you said, you might not be able to.
Well, so you have a question about that, you informed me that, like, we'll have to see, but.
All right, thank you.
And what really happens,
What about put the tunnel under that?
Speculation for other questions.
It's always worth looking at.
Always, it's at least worth saying, you're too much.
It's a green one.
Yeah.
I think so.
There you go.
How about putting the tunnel all the way under that?
Right?
Or from the freeway all the way out there, would that work?
That's what I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're already lost at all that, because we've got this god figure that's in between them.
Ranch.
Called you.
Called railroad.
Beat all the public works guys, which is really all the.
And groundwater.
Which would be all the public works.
Yeah, I thought it was Sherry.
Yeah, look at all the water, you can pump out water fields with it.
Right.
Oh, and that's all I wanted, because to be redemption from last year. Last year I did not do so well.
I want to look at those pictures again. Was your son a sheep man?
The pink one?
How are you?
I'm good, how are you? It's bright pink, it's kind of like a Timmons. But Sherry was just like, I'm not doing the shade. So then, in the so I brought my car off to her, actually on the kickoff off to her, after that. And then she's texting me, she looks like she's seeing videos.
I
It was like every month. I'm like, no, it's been here. I'm like, okay, that's all good for God.
I don't know.
She said the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we should probably begin the City of North Salt Lake City Council work session. Today's date is March 19th, 2024. It's, I believe, a little bit after 6 o'clock. And I'd like to welcome everybody here. I'm filling in today as Mayor Pro Tem for Mayor Brian Horrocks, who has taken ill. He is, however, on the Zoom, so he'll be attending also. It's difficult to conduct a meeting when you're remote, so that's why I'm filling in. We've got for our work session at 6 o'clock a report from Horrocks Engineers on the proposed 1000 North Bridge project. And if you gentlemen are ready, we'll go ahead and hear from you. I should introduce, there's Lee Cabell, Cabell. Okay, and Darren Iyer. You can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Right, thank you, nice to be here. You're probably all like, who's this guy? This isn't the guy that comes and talks to us about this project for the last couple of years. Our wonderful Corey Pope with Horrocks has decided that it's time for him to retire and do something else. And I don't know if I got lucky or drew the short straw, or it's because I've known Ken for over 20 years that we've worked together. It's like, you know, you can handle Ken, go for it. So happy to be here and be involved in this project. So we just want to chat for a little bit about kind of what we've looked at. I think most of you are familiar with some of the history and some of the, how do I say this nicely, working with the railroad can be challenging. And just kind of some of the things we've looked at, right? And since then, we've kind of gone back to the drawing board a little bit based on some of the stuff that we've learned from UP and me coming in fairly new to the project. One of the first questions I asked was, do we have to fix this issue with the road, or can we fix this issue with the railroad? And by that, I mean moving rail lines or doing something else to address it, right? And so we kind of took another look at that. So I'm going to turn the time over to Darren Iyers from CRS, that's our rail consultant, to kind of explain what we found out when it comes to moving the railroad and dealing with the railroad, improving the railroad operations of both the UP and the Woods Cross Industrial Lead line as it relates to our project. And then when he's done, I'll jump into more of the roadway type stuff. So, Darren?
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, Council. It's good to see all of you again. I presented maybe a year or so ago. For those that don't remember me, my name is Darren Ayer, and I've been designing railroad tracks around the country and in Utah for 21 years. I've designed some form of railroad infrastructure from most of the refineries in the area. So I know this area very, very well, and I'm very familiar with it. Could you show the the map? I think we had prepared a memo. Hopefully everyone had a chance to read that and provided this concept exhibit as well to help understand the memo a little bit. But and I know that the council can't see my pointer, but Mrs. Page can, so she's going to show the mouse. So 11 North is to the left on this image. 1100 North, 2600 South runs up and down through the middle of the page. Union Pacific had asked us to look at grades separating both the main line on the east and the Woods Cross Industrial Lead on the west, which is the bottom of the page. After the last study, that was very expensive, so we looked at some other options, one of which was the rail. So in this picture, red represents existing track to remain, blue represents existing track to be removed, and green represents proposed track to be built that does not exist today. And the curves that are shown on there are the tightest radius curves that you can install on an industrial lead. I know I've seen some concept sketches that crisscross from maybe here over to here much quicker through a narrow corridor, or up and down through here really, really sharp. those options don't work, because they would derail a train. So I've only prepared one exhibit to show those curves, and there's probably a myriad of branch options from there. This one is what we would just call a track that is being relocated from its current location, and the Woods Cross Industrial Lead would just stay connected to itself. There's other similar options where you, instead of leaving it connected to itself, you could connect to the main line here, and then somewhere up here in this corridor, you could have another connection and then try to follow a similar curve up in this area or some other areas up here we were asked to look at. Short answer is there's really not a good option to relocate the track through these areas. And in the memo, I had outlined a couple of the reasons, one of which is you can see because of the big curves, it's going to affect existing rail service to the existing industries, most of which are petrochemical facilities that cannot endure a plant shutdown. They operate 24/7 in most cases. And so trying to sever some of these tracks over here to the west really isn't an option unless those refineries were to go out of business. The other option was that we were asked to look at was to connect to UP's main line. And this main line, for those that don't know, it's a very heavily used main line. There's a lot of volume and a lot of high speed. I would compare it to Interstate 15 for vehicles. And most of you would understand if me as a boat owner approached UDOT and said, hey, I have a house next to I-15 right here, and it would be really convenient for me to stop my truck and back my boat into my driveway. It'd save me a lot of time. UDOT would tell me no for safety reasons and for operating reasons for the other traffic. Union Pacific and any railroad, for that matter, is similar in nature to that. For safety reasons and operating reasons, they can't stop on that main line and slow traffic down. And so that's not an option. Another thing we looked at is if we were to run a parallel track for some length along here, and similar to UDOT again, I think most people know there's an I-15 widening project coming up where they're going to install additional lanes. The railroad companies have similar plans, not immediately, but some point into the future, they need to install another main line to handle additional volume, just like I-15 handles additional traffic. So we looked at the cross section that would fit in there, and if you add future main lines and then add in the separation from those main lines to a relocated Woods Cross Industrial Lead, there's not room to physically fit that without impacting these structures in the refineries. That causes some problem with right-of-way acquisition, impacting the existing industry's businesses. There's fence lines. From some of the work that we've done from some of the refineries too, there's a lot of utility impacts. There's a whole bunch of underground high-pressure lines and crude oil lines and a lot of pipelines, as you can imagine. And as trains go over those utility lines, they have much heavier weight than a regular vehicle does. And so you would have to do some kind of a relocation of the underground utilities or some kind of a protection, such as putting them all in steel casings and things like that. So very costly, very time-consuming. Most of those utility companies own easements, and they have rights within those, so they theoretically could tell you no if you were to try to relocate or shut their line down. And then the other one would be at-grade crossings. While we would eliminate the at-grade crossing of the Woods Cross Industrial Lead at 1100 North, you can see from the image that we're now creating two crossings that are public crossings on 1100 North and impacting many driveways for the residents and businesses nearby. So you may solve one problem, but you're creating more in other ways in quantity and severity as it relates to at-grade crossings. So Lee's going to cover a lot of the roadway stuff. I'm happy to field any questions there might be about the railroad portion of it, if there are any.
So this might be a graphic that looks very unfamiliar to you. It's not something we've been looking at. There are two reasons why Darren has presented this tonight. One is we were trying to answer Councilmember Porter's question about if we were able to move or adjust the Woods Cross Industrial lead, which is the westernmost track, would there be a way to do it so that the bridge could be shorter and Union Pacific would approve the project? And I think what we're hearing from Darren is that it really can't be done, and it certainly can't be done for a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, I'd say the second. So, like, you could
physically
do it, make it happen if you had $1 billion, but
this is one of those things. If you had enough money, you could do anything, but that doesn't mean it's the best solution. The second thing is this really, it really relates to the other side of the project, which is we're trying to figure out, and you'll hear from Lee here in a moment, we're trying to figure out the impacts of a bridge that's a half mile long, which is the only project that Union Pacific has approved up until now, or what our alternatives might be to make our bridge and grade separation more acceptable to Union Pacific and more acceptable to us. So that's just to put a little context on this graphic that we just saw.
I have a question, and that is, first off, thank you for doing the research for us. Did you ever come up with a figure, if we were to try to do any of these things, what the ballpark might be in terms of cost?
We haven't, no. That's something that could be done. It would be very lengthy, time-consuming, and expensive to do that, relatively speaking, for design fees and stuff. There's a lot to look into. There's a lot of stakeholders that would need to be involved. I would guess to do a thorough study, you would be looking at 1 or 2 years to do a study to really find out what all the impacts would be and what the costs would be to accommodate that. So something that could be looked into, but based on some of these other options we've looked at with the roads, there might be some less expensive, faster solutions.
Based on your memo, what I'm concluding is that you saw it as improbable and infeasible.
Yeah.
It's just a no-go.
That's how
I
feel.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
okay.
That's correct. As much as I would love to design some track, I just don't think it's a feasible option. Good question. Any others? Okay.
I don't think there's any other questions. Maybe we'll hear from your colleague.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You want this at all?
Maybe a point. Agreement. Okay, thank you. Again, Lee Cabell with Horrocks Engineers. I've been with Horrocks for about 30 years, and I've done a few railroad projects in Utah County, Salt Lake County. So, what we want to talk about today is, and let me preface that with a few things I want you to kind of keep in mind as we go through this discussion a little bit today. One of these is like, what do we want 1100 North to be for our community, right? What do we want Main Street to be for our community? And we'll get into that a little bit more as we talk about a couple of these options. So this wasn't, and by that I mean, right, so some of the options you're gonna see that we talked about that you looked at have various impacts on access to area businesses, access to surrounding street network, sizes of roadways and facilities, ownership of roadways and facilities. From some perspective, and I know there's been some discussion in the past about, you know, should 1100 North be a UDOT road because it connects directly to the interstate, right? But that also brings on a host of things like, well, then it's got to meet UDOT standards, and then you lose some of your control over that road and different things like that. But anyway, so where we left off probably a year or so ago, right, was this image that you're seeing now on the screen. So that's an image where we have a bridge on 1100 North over the UP-UTA tracks. And then we come back down off those tracks and get as close to existing grade as possible and have this intersection, which is a relocated main street to the west, so that we can get that down closer to grade and not separate the Woods Cross industrial lead. When that option was presented to UP, that's where they came back and said, no, the intersection has to be a minimum of 250 feet away from the rail line. We prefer 400 feet, mm-hmm. right? Unless you can really show us that 250 feet will work because of the traffic. And so otherwise you need to grade, separate, you need to put bridges over both those alignments. And that's kind of where we, okay. So now we are several months later talking about it again, right? I mean, it really changed the nature and scope of the project and the magnitude and what we might be wanting to take on. So what we've done is gone back and looked at kind of two categories of options. So the first category I'll talk about is, grade separating both the UP and the Woods Cross Industrial Lead, right? And the second category is there an option that allows the Woods Cross Industrial Lead to not have to be grade separated and still just grade separate the UP bridge? So we'll talk about those, and those have some different implications. So that's kind of where we say where we got to when we left off a while ago. And so present some of the follow-up work that's happened since then. And again, by no means, I know there's a few new people on the council, but so if you have any questions about anything from the past, studies that were done or whatever, feel free to just jump in and ask. So, all right, thank you, Wendy. Next slide. So these figures are pretty small up on the screen, but so this is what I'm calling kind of option one, which is kind of, okay, so we got to grade separate both sets of tracks, leave everything where it's at, don't move stuff around too much. What does that look like? The upper figure shows kind of the profile of 1100 North, what it would take to get up and over the both sets of tracks and come back down. The colored lines on 1100 North where they start on the figure kind of show you how far east and west on 1100 North you'd have to go before you caught the existing grades and got back down to the existing level of the roadway. And then in each of the profiles, it kind of shows you where the bridges are and where the main street action is, right?
Sorry, I got confused. What is the inset on the lower one?
So the lower one inset is the profile of Main Street. And by that, this option takes a bridge up over the UP tracks, keeps the road high, takes Main Street on each side, and raises it up in the air to match the grade of 1100 North, and still stay up high enough to get over the Woods Cross lead, and then back down to grade, right? And so you can kind of see on Main Street also the limits of how far north and south on Main Street you'd have to go to start bringing it up and tying it in to a really kind of like an elevated intersection up on a big hill, right, in a way. There's a couple of ways that you could do that, right? I think one of the things that's been talked about is you put that up with retaining walls on each side to minimize the footprint, to try to minimize impacts of the properties, but now you have a big wall for 1,500 feet right through your community that everyone's looking at. Mm. The other option is, okay, well, what if you just made like a huge bridge across there, right? So you can see through it, right? The challenge with that a little bit is I'm not aware of anywhere in Utah where they have an intersection like that up on top of a bridge, right? So that would be a challenge for UDOT's very progressive and they're very open to new ideas, right? But that'd be something we'd all be working with through the first time, right? And then you'd have to decide again, do you want that bridge to extend down Main Street or do you want Main Street on cut and fill with retaining walls? So anyway, very impactful, right? And that's kind of where we got to. So yeah, the top figure shows the profile of 1100 North, of what it would take to get up and over that. And the bottom one shows just how much Main Street would have to go up. I mean, you know, we'd be raising Main Street probably, I can't remember the scale, but, you know, probably 20 plus feet, 25 feet up in the air to get that to match up on top and have that intersection. And the reason I ask that, right, because this is a critical component of the project in terms of what do we need Main Street and what do we need 1100 North to be? One of the constraints that we were trying to consider in our evaluation is there a way to provide full access at Main Street on 1100 North? So all the movements, north and south, east and west, all the turning movements can be accommodated like they are today, right? So a full access intersection. So that's what that shows. You know, and then there's a lot of miscellaneous things that goes along with some of these. You can kind of see there's a couple of roadways peeling off of there, right? I mean, all of a sudden you go from this side to this side, you're getting, like I said, 1,500, 2,000 feet of no access on 1100 North. So how do you provide access to all those other properties that you're impacting in? And could you work out access on some of those? Would you just have to buy a little bit of property to put the roadway in? Would you have to buy the entire piece of property because of the impacts, right? And what does that do from a right-of-way perspective? The other thing you'll see in this figure is, and again, it goes back to my comment about what do we want 1100 North to be. If you look at the Wasatch Front Regional Council's travel demand model for this area and look at future volume projections on 1100 North in like the year 2050, we're talking, they're estimating 20 to 25,000 cars a day on 1100 North. Right now, there's probably around 15,000 cars a day, right? 20 to 25,000 cars a day in traditional engineering lingo would tell you that you need five lanes, right? Two lanes each direction and a center turn lane to efficiently handle that traffic at the level of service or the, you know, the operational characteristics that we like in terms of not too much congestion, but kind of standard urban levels of congestion. So this figure shows, right, the bridges wider than the road, because this option that I've laid out here really shows three lanes on 1100 North, which it is now. But when we're talking about the bridge structures, you're building a structure that has a 75 to 100 year design life. Do you want to build it five lanes or do you want to build it three lanes, right? So it could accommodate that in the future or not. Not to say we can't design a three lane bridge and add on in the future. We do that all the time. But you know, again, kind of that consideration of what do you want 1100 North to be? And so that's what that option is. If you want to ask questions about the options as we go through them, or I'll just blow through them real quick and then we'll kind of go back and talk about the different ones, we can do that. So, you know, a lot of what's 1100 North, a lot of access issues, and it's, you know, it's like not just on 1100 North, but this one has, you know, you're basically eliminating all the access to all these businesses within, I can't remember what that distance is in there, right? But probably 500 or 600 feet on Main Street. So how do they get to the driveways to the storage units, and can you work some deals with adjacent property owners to do shared accesses and combined accesses, or right, are you now the proud owner of a storage facility that nobody can get to? So things like that we need to talk about. Okay, the next slide, Wendy, please. Next one. Is that the next one? Oh, I guess I should maybe move the stand a little bit closer so I can see the screen. So this is basically the same option that we just looked at. The difference is, instead of putting Main Street as an access up on top, you just basically put Main Street underneath 1100 North with another bridge. And so Main Street stays the same place that it is. It goes under 1100 North, right? So the main difference between this option and the one we just looked at is that you maintain north-south access on Main Street with the bridge, right? But nobody can turn left or right, either, you know, onto Main Street from 1100 North or from Main Street onto 1100 North. So you maintain the north-south access, but you lose access east and west. That's really the only difference between these two. I mean, really, right? But that also has a lot of implications, because now you're still maintaining access to everybody that has access on Main Street. You're still providing some connectivity across the community, not full access, right? That would require anybody down on Main Street that wanted to get to 1100 North, right, would have to navigate back south on Main Street over to, can't help me, I'm forgetting the name of the street. Which one? Yeah, Pacific, right? That comes back and then comes back over and gets back up to Main Street, closer to the freeway over here, to 1100 North, right? And on the same token, it would require anybody on the north side of the road to find their way up into Woods Cross a little bit, and they have a couple of streets at like 1900 North or something that also wind their way back down to 1100 North further to the west, right? So you're not, you're affecting the convenience of those accesses to 1100 North, but they're not eliminating them altogether, right? Again, you can kind of see the same profile as you see up here. There really doesn't do much. The UP and the industrial lead tracks are so close together, there's just not enough room to move the road up and down very far. So you really basically have the same design. It's just, is it full with impacts on Main Street to get an intersection, or do you just leave Main Street and put it through there? And that's why I see the one on the bottom, right? There's really nothing on Main Street because you're leaving it where it is and you're just punching it underneath what would be the future 1100 North. The next slide, option three, is again basically the same thing, but this just cul-de-sacs Main Street on each side, so there's no Main Street access at all through the area. Again, right, which would be forcing all the access down to Pacific, other streets, and other streets in Woods Cross. The only thing this option does, right, is maybe save you a few million dollars on the overall cost because you're not putting a bridge in, assuming you're just having dirt and retaining walls go all the way through there. So it's, you know, you're saving a few million dollars at the expense of access. So those were really kind of the three options that fall under the category grade separating both tracks to meet that requirement of UP that they kind of thrown on us, and what that might look like in terms of access from Main Street. The option number one that we looked at is similar to something that you may have seen before in the past, but you know, that's probably this is a real ballpark estimate. I threw some numbers in the materials that you have, right? But the numbers that you show, that are shown in there, are really kind of just purely construction costs of dirt, steel, concrete, and kind of an estimate of right away, right? But like I said, there's a lot of other costs potentially that, as Darren mentioned, you know, what are the utility issues? We know there's some petroleum lines and high pressure gas lines in the areas. Those relate to foundations. What might you be paying above and beyond the footprint impact of the right-of-way to maintain access to properties and businesses and things like that, right? So this option is $50 million north, you know, probably of what that's going to cost by the time you factor all that in. And I mean, we were looking at probably 30 million or more, 35 just in some low-level construction estimates without really understanding the full magnitude of some of these things. So that could easily escalate when you add in those different costs. So again, a very expensive option, right? The other ones where you don't do the Main Street intersection, again, you're really only saving maybe $5 million or so by not having to put that bridge in compared to this. The lines, I forgot to mention, the lines that you see on the map, you'll see kind of a dark line that's right against the edge of the roadway. That kind of shows where the retaining walls would be, right? The other thing we always check is like, well, if you don't put retaining walls and you just build up a dirt mound, right, the dirt's usually a lot cheaper than the retaining walls. The dirt mound line is kind of the red line that shows on north and each side of the road. It shows the difference between the walls and the cut and fill lines would be, right? But you're trading lower construction costs for higher right-of-way costs because you got to buy a lot more right-of-way to put the dirt in. And when you look at your cost estimates, you can kind of see that those are fairly close together. So, right, there's probably other things than pure cost, like just community acceptance and access and aesthetics and things like that, that would probably weigh more on that decision than just saving a couple of dollars.
And then, I found myself to be very loud there. Some of these would necessitate a taking of a property then?
Right.
Can you tick off a few that you think, yeah, it probably would be this one, etc.?
There's kind of a limit, right? Like on some of this one, for example, if you did the fill, or kind of going through the middle of the thing, what exactly are you hitting? How does that property operate? You know, what do they do there? What it's zoned for?
And is that in your $50 million, those costs?
So we kind of did a blanket cost of $50 a square foot for the right-of-way. I would used to think that's insane, thinking that anybody would pay that much for a right-of-way, but there's parts of me also that wonder, is that cost too low, the way real estate prices are nowadays, right? But just kind of a comparative thing. And I think the main purpose of that exercise was just for us to understand at some certain cost, right? What's the difference between buying more right of way and saving and putting in dirt versus less right of way impacts and putting in more expensive walls? So that's what that was kind of exercise is. So the second category of options we looked at is like, what could we do to not have to grade separate both rail lines based on our discussions with UP? So if you go to slide four, option four, that option is really an attempt to grade separate UP, still maintain full access at Main Street, and get back down to grade in time to cross the Woods Cross industrial lead at its current location and its current elevation. A couple of arguments is like, from our perspective, right, that we'd be making to UP is that we didn't change anything. Intersections are the same place they are. It meets that 250-foot minimum spacing requirement. You know, we should be good. From an operational standpoint, in order to make that work, we took some liberties that the city would need to be okay with, right? One of those liberties is increasing the maximum grade on 1100 North. So this option has 1100 North going as high as 8% grade or more to get over the track, right? If this was going to be a UDOT road, for example, they would want to keep that at 6% or less. So that's kind of why under the old scenario, under the UDOT scenario with the 6% grades, we can't make this one work. But at 8% grades, we can make that work, right? I know we're probably not all the biggest fans of driving on 8% grades in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah, I was going right? to ask,
so
can,
weather
is that
conditions,
possible with snow plows? Is that
Yeah, there's doable? Plenty of 8% grades. I mean, you know, up around... I'm drawing a blank. Eagle Ridge, the golf course, your golf course there on the other side. Great golf course, by the way. Yeah, really steep, right? So we kind of know what that's like. And those are residential streets, a lot of them, versus, you know, a higher volume street. So, right, you'd have to accept higher grades, steeper grades. The other thing, the only way we could make this work is if you'll notice on the top figure where the intersection of Main Street is, 1100 North is still sloped like this, right? UDOT would normally require that intersection to be down probably 4, preferably 2%. So you'd come down off the bridge, you'd have to flatten out for the intersection and then drop back down. When you do that, you can't get back down the grade by the time you get to the industrial lead. So this option maintains the Main Street intersection at a pretty good, you know, 4 or 5% grade to make that intersection work and have the access, right? So again, not your ideal standpoint. And especially if we're looking at, you know, the need to put sidewalks and things along the side of the road, those are a little steep. And then again, you see on this one that this approach does reduce the amount of impacts on Main Street. You don't have to get it clear as high to get up and over, but you can still see between the colored lines on the map and stuff. Yeah, there's still going to be some impacts, right? I mean, maybe this storage unit facility, you could save the driveway on the south, but you're still losing the other driveways, right? And a couple of these options, you know, over in this other corner of the storage unit is your pump house facility that's very critical and trying to maintain and save that as well. So that's kind of what this one shows. Slide five, Wendy. Please. So this one is kind of the Darren's Railroad approach, right? So this one is, well, what if we, kind of the, under the concept of Darren's Railroad, like moving the railroad, so you put both of the railroad underneath one bridge. So this was the concept of, well, let's just do one bridge. Let's move Main Street to put underneath the same bridge as the tracks. So then we got all kinds of room between the track to get back down to grade by the industrial lead and not have to grade separate that one. You know, very, very, very doable. It's similar to the one option that it maintains maintains north-south Main Street access, but you lose east-west Main Street access. So it's kind of similar to the other idea where we just had Main Street going straight underneath 1100 North, right? But what this does is accomplishes that at a much, much lower cost, because now you're only building the one bridge, albeit that bridge is a little bigger. It's only one bridge, and you're getting up and down sooner on 1100 North, and so you don't have that big, huge viaduct structure going across there. So it'd be a little more traditional, you know, up over the bridge, back down, but you lose some of that Main Street access, and, you know, you would kind of leave Main Street and cul-de-sac it a little bit to provide access to those other businesses, but you'd get back and forth north and south, but you'd still have to go down to Pacific and 1900 North and some of those other streets to get back to 1100 North if you wanted to do that. The last option that we looked at was option six, and this option is kind of back to that original concept, right? Grade separate the UP tracks, move the intersection to the west, right? The difference with this option is we're restricting the access at Main Street and putting a median down 1100 North. So what that does, you can't really go north and south across Main Street, but you could get off 1100 North with the right turns, right? A right turn north, right turns all the way around. So you do maintain some of that access to 1100 North. The reason this will work with UP is because with this configuration, you've eliminated stop signs on 1100 North, you've eliminated a signal feature, so the traffic is always free flowing on 1100 North through this area, and so you don't have any traffic stopping, queuing, backing up potentially across the industrial lead, which was, like I say, the main reason from UP wanting us to grade separate this before, because we couldn't maintain that minimum spacing and eliminate the queuing that could potentially happen across the track. So, right, so this minimizes the cost on 1100 North by a single bridge over UP, eliminates having to grade separate the industrial lead. But again, you know, minimizes some of the impacts of the property, because now you're only dealing with properties so much on the one side. Still some significant impacts. Storage units are expensive. Seems like they shouldn't be, because they're just concrete and tin, but you're buying the property and you're, I can't remember what the rule is, like you're buying 20 years of income that they lose from renting those units too, so it can get fairly expensive. So that maintains, right, you lose the north-south access and you maintain some of the east-west access, though you can't turn left into Main Street or left coming out of Main Street. And again, so you can see a lot of these comes back to those questions I asked before about, you know, what do we want Main Street to be? What do we want 1100 North to be? What kind of access do we need to maintain? What kind of deals do we think we could broker with either Woods Cross or the property owners to revise accesses if we went with one of these options? And, you know, do we need that three lanes or five lanes if we want to go that route? And the good news is this last legislative session, right, they granted UDOT kind of a running $45 million a year to be used to grade separate the UTA tracks throughout the valley. So this would be an excellent candidate to apply for some of that funding. Again, these kind of options that here, right, I mean, this one definitely is more expensive of relocating that, right? But these are probably options that are, you know, less than $50 million, where the other ones are over $50 million, right? Again, whether that's more of a you know, $30 million or a $45 million versus some of the other ones, we need to do a little more work in there. But from a relative magnitude standpoint, definitely less expensive than the other options where you got to grade separate both tracks. So that's kind of where we got to on looking at the different options. And I didn't show these. Ken can vouch. I came in kind of fresh look, so to speak. I was moving roads and rail lines and everything everywhere until Darren and Ken kind of brought me back down to reality and said, this is what we can deal with, and this is kind of what we ended up. So definitely a few different options than we'd looked at before, but again, different implications with each of those in terms of what the character of your community is going to look like through this area. that's the official stuff I had to talk about today. So the next slides just show several different cost estimates, which are really, again, they're an attempt to be kind of an apples-to-apples comparison. So they don't include all the details, as Darren was saying, of what it might really cost, but it just kind of shows you the difference of, like in these cases, the cost of it with retaining walls versus, and less right-of-way versus more right-of-way and dirt, and the hard costs of steel and concrete, mostly for the road and the bridges, with some real high-level guesstimates on what type of the utility impacts would be. But those are varied so much between the different options that, you know, I think Ken and I had talked about that we just kind of want to give a good high-level picture and decide if and what we want to do moving forward, and then, you know, how to best spend, you know, the city's valuable dollars on addressing and tackling this project as we move forward.
Can you go back one slide? And then I think you said it, but I just want to absorb it. So UP would be okay with that location for Main. Why?
Because we eliminate the stop sign and we eliminate the possibility of a signal, because we're restricting 1100 North to only ride in, ride out.
And so then they'd be okay with it.
Yeah, so there'd be no opportunity for traffic on 1100 North to stop and back up across the tracks. And that was the main difference, right? The first one we showed, that still maintained that one as a full access intersection with the traffic signal. And that's where UP kind of freaked out. We did take this option to, you know, not necessarily UP proper, but UP's consultants that they hire to kind of be their watchdogs on as we deal with this. And they indicated that, yeah, this might be an acceptable option. I mean, they are also concerned about the industrial lead and the sides of that track, right? Three lanes versus five lanes. Three lanes makes them happy. Five lanes, we're going to have to chat a little bit.
And show us where the bridge begins on the east side.
So on this one, really the outline of the green is where the actual bridge structure itself, the you know, kind of the abutments, the piers of where the bridge span length would be, whereas the colored lines back down into here is where where you start leaving the existing ground and start climbing to get up high enough to get over the bridge. And the other thing we did on some of these, just I don't know if it makes any, some of the other alternatives, right, really kind of looked at getting over the bridge as quick as you can, whereas this alternative, actually, you come up and you start going down before you get to the bridge. So it pushes the improvements on 1100 North farther to the east. But what that does is once you hit the UP, you're already starting down. So it saves us room on the west that we can fit some of this stuff in by the time we get to the Woods Cross tracks, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah. So this feels like the least bad. Is that right? I mean,
yeah,
I know it's
some
trade-offs,
of those, right?
But,
I mean,
yeah,
it's really a matter, like, well, you know, one decision is if we want to maintain some access from Main Street to 1100 North, what's more important, being able to access Main Street, even if you can't do it all the way, or being able to get back and forth across Main Street, right? Because this one, yeah, you can come up from the south, right? And you can come up and you can turn right and you can head to the freeway, right? But turning left, you're going to have to come down Pacific and come another way or come another route because you can't turn left onto Main Street, but you can turn right. So if that's more important than being able to get back and forth across Main Street, then yeah, this one might have some benefits.
But, so the option one estimate of $33 million is really your rebar, concrete, construction materials, and labor. It's not any of the spillover impact of adjacent properties, correct?
Right. And it doesn't include, you know, in design engineering costs, construction engineering costs, permit costs that may go associated with some of that stuff, and again, kind of a high level estimate at utility costs. In the concept study that was done a few years ago that you probably have access to, it had a more detailed cost estimate of this option, that included, did a better job of trying to look at everything in there. And that's where I said that option in, I think in 2018 dollars was, do you remember, Ken's like 55 million?
Yeah,
or
it was over
like
50 million.
Yeah, it was over $50 million. So
I think realistically, we're really looking at the cost estimates in this report, which I just emailed to the council, are pretty low. But they're not, as you said, they don't include everything either.
Yeah, they're by no means complete. That's right. What I said. You look at this one that shows 30, and by the time you add in all the rest of that stuff and get a better handle on exactly what we'd be looking at and whether or not you can salvage some of the accesses to the properties or what that might entail, that's why I was kind of saying that's probably a north of $50 million plus project when you're all said and done. So if I did my job correctly as an engineer, I probably put more questions in your mind than answers.
So this is not an action item for the council. I think this has been helpful. And like I said, I emailed you the slides that Lee went through tonight. I wanted to have Lee explain these to you and roll them out before I sent them to you, but you'll be able to look at them and go back to them. As the council thinks about this more, one thing that I think we should keep in the back of our minds too is that Woods Cross City will not be happy with any alternative that reduces the function of Main Street as it connects to 1100 North. So I think option 6 does have some promise for us, and in some ways it solves some problems for the function of 11th North. The traffic flows better, but it won't work as well for Woods Cross as it will for North Salt Lake. So I think we should just keep that in mind. But
yeah, every time in this presentation that I said Main Street, you could probably put in 1100 West, flip that mirror, and that same argument applies to Woods Cross and their 1100 West as it does to our community and Main Street.
I think, if I were to just take a moment and talk about next steps, I think it would be good now having the council having had this presentation. It would be good if Mayor Horrocks and I went and shared this with Woods Cross. Woods Cross has been a partner in past studies on this project, and we've been trying to figure out what we're going to do. But I do think it's probably now that we have this report, it would be good for us to go to Woods Cross and share it with them and show them what we're considering and get some feedback from Woods Cross. So that would be our next step. And of course, if you have feedback tonight, we'd love to hear it, but we can also schedule this item again after we've met with Woods Cross.
Could you go back to slide a few where it has the total cost of option 2 and 3, please? Option 2 was 33 on that one too, and then option 3 was 29. Yeah.
I said most of those is really just the difference of whether you got the bridge at Main Street or not, and saving those few million dollars for the bridge, because most of the other costs are consistent across all three of those alternatives.
Yeah. One thing, I guess the mother in me makes me think about this bridge and a teenager driving their car with very little experience. I mean, they're going to be trying to get some air, maybe.
Right, I can neither confirm nor deny. I might have tried that in the past, but I totally understand where you're coming
from. It would be
a
very exciting road for a certain age group. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yep.
Forgive me if it's in here somewhere and I missed it, but what is the time frame that would take to put this project together, that it would be finished?
You're probably looking at And some of that may depend on the funding sources, right? I mean, if the city was able to fund a project of this magnitude with all their dollars, that expedites the project, right? But as soon as you put a drop of federal money in it, you got to go through a full NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act, process, which will probably take about a year to go through that. The design would probably take about another year. So we're probably 2 to 3 years out before you'd see dirt moving. And then depending on the option chosen, that's probably one long construction season, or if you're doing the full viaduct with multiple bridges, it's probably at least a 2-year construction project.
Well, I do want to say, in looking at this, it's very impressive because a lot of people get frustrated with the trains and being stuck, and I think they just say put a bridge and it would be easy, but there's a lot of homework that goes into this of obviously all these different options of train, the best impact and what it can do. So very impressive.
Yeah, that's kind of where it came back. You see a lot of these have some really significant philosophical issues in terms of your community and what it needs to be, and you know, the vision for how 1100 North integrates into your community and community to the north, because each of these have some similar but also some very vastly different impacts to your community depending on what those look like. Right.
Sir, based on your experience and expertise on this, if you were to put yourself into our shoes as council members, what would be some main considerations that you would have?
A couple things I think of, right, is one, just that the future of the Woods Cross industrial lead. And by that, I mean, given the way things are going in the world and technology, I mean, is that area of Salt Lake going to be petrochemically based refineries 100 years from now? Mm-hmm. Right? Is that lead dead ends, what is it, another mile and a half, 2 miles up the road and turns into a trail, right? You build a bridge of this cost to go over that, and what's the real lifespan of that given land use potential changes and changes to the, you know, that petrochemical industry and stuff like that. So that's, I think, one thing to consider, right? The other thing to consider probably is again, right, really that need and that interaction between the communities with it being on the border, right? There's some of these options that are probably more North Salt Lake friendly and less Woods Cross friendly, if that's a way to put it, and vice versa on some of those, right? And so I know those considerations are also important. And then again, kind of which, you know, the extent of the access that you can do. And I mean, one thing we didn't really look at, right, is, okay, if you restrict access at Main Street, are there other improvements to your city street network that could be made to maybe restore some of those connections and just move them around a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But restore and improve some of the other adjacent streets that might lessen the full hit of losing some of the access at Main Street.
Well, thank you very much for your hard work and presentation. It provides a great deal of information for us to mull over.
Yeah, right. Like I said, I feel like I don't know if I helped you very much because there's still a lot of questions, right? But feel free, pass any questions on through Ken. We'll be happy to do whatever you need to provide you some more information, or if you need some more detailed drawings or want to take a cost estimate to the next step or whatever, or, you know, be happy to do any of that kind of stuff for you. So
thanks, Lee.
Thanks. Thank you for your time today.
So, Council, do you have any questions that you'd like to just briefly discuss before we move to the next work session item? Okay. Now, I need to take some direction from you.
Sure.
Ken, we're now at the 7:05 hour. Mm-hmm. So what would you recommend we do with regard to the work session?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. That's the second item on the work session is more of a reporting back item from the action item list. And our staff member, John, will be here the whole meeting. So I would suggest we move that to maybe the end of the of the regular meeting, and that you just conduct your 7 o'clock meeting the way it's been agended.
That sounds fine. Is it okay with everyone? Very good. That's what we'll do. Well, once again, thanks very much for your investigative work and engineering brainies stuff. Appreciate it very much.
A good challenge, but we love challenges. Yeah. I'm going to tell my wife you called me a brainy. Thank you.
Well, we're going to now begin our regular session. Again, I'm Mayor Pro Tem Lisa Watts-Baskin, filling in for the mayor, who is not well tonight, but he is attending via Zoom. And as luck would have it,